Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the March 17, 2022 telephonic meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. CJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this telephonic meeting.
Good morning. This is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for the Board of Commissioners and specific Rhode Island Housing staff, all callers must be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask the commissioners and participating staff to please mute your telephones if you are not speaking. During the meeting, anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Thank you, CJ. This is Carol Ventura, Corinne Myers, General Counsel for Rhode Island Housing, to provide additional information on this telephonic meeting.
Good morning. This is Corinne Myers speaking. Under Executive Order 22-01, which was most recently updated by Executive Order 22-20, this meeting is being held by teleconference. Members of the public can visit the RA Housing website to view today's agenda and information on each of the actions being taken, including the documents being discussed. If the teleconference is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until audio is restored. Vice Chairman James Thorson will preside at today's meeting. Commissioners and staff, when you speak during the meeting, please state your name each and every time prior to speaking. Mr. Vice Chairman, I wanted to note one change for you. Agenda items 4 and 5 relating to Park Home Phase 4 and the ARP funding awards, which were scheduled to be presented by Ann Berman, will be presented instead by James Comer. With that, Mr. Vice Chairman, I turn it back to you to call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Corinne. This is Jim Thorson. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Carol, can you conduct a roll call for the attendance of the Board of Commissioners?
Yes. Commissioner James Thorson.
Here.
Commissioner Liz Tanner.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Leanne Byrne.
Present.
Commissioner Kevin Orr.
Here.
Commissioner Steve McAllister.
Here.
Commissioner Maria Barry.
Here.
Director, I just want to note that Steve McAllister has to leave the meeting at 10 o'clock.
Very good. Thank you, Carol. This is Jim Thorson again. In for our first item, I'd like to introduce Board Action Number 1, approval of the minutes of the board meeting held on February 17th, 2022. You should have received this the copy of the minutes in your agenda package. Can I have a motion to approve, please?
This is Leanne. I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second, Liz Tanner.
Any discussion on the notes? Corinne, can you please conduct a roll call vote on the motion?
Yes, this is Corinne speaking. Commissioners, when I call your name, if you're in favor of approving the minutes of the board meeting held on February 17th, 2022, please say aye. If you are opposed, say nay. Vice Chairman Thorson?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne?
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister?
Aye.
Commissioner Orris?
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
The motion carries by a unanimous vote. Thank you.
Thanks, Corinne. It's Jim Thorson again. Now we go to the presiding commissioner's remarks. I just wanted to mention that yesterday I attended a presentation sponsored by the Rhode Island Foundation on homelessness. There were vendors who presented on various ideas involving modular or tiny homes, and many of the state's people who are interested in housing were there. There was a lively discussion. Unfortunately, I had to leave before the end, but there are a lot of people working on that issue, and I think that I also had lunch with Josh Saul, who recently joined as the Deputy Commissioner for Housing. I keep being reminded that the word czar is not to be used anymore, but anyway. So So there's a lot of activity in and around housing. We also had hearings last week, and you may have seen them on Capital TV. I put it on before bedtime. But I have to say this, but advocate after advocate came up and talked about how $250 million of new money from the state fiscal recovery fund was woefully inadequate. This is a sort of a catchphrase around the budget office, woefully inadequate, as there's a plethora of money, abundance of money that's going around, and it's woefully inadequate. That's the watchword. And whereas as we were nearing the end of the budget process, it was the phrase was maybe next year. But anyway, with that, what I'd like to do is to turn it over to Carol, and she'll present her review of recent activities and trends. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Director. Our homeownership numbers are down a bit compared with volume in 2021, but we're hopeful the spring home buying season will bring our volume up. We also hope that the governor's proposal to fund a statewide down payment assistance grant program providing $17,500 per household will receive approval by the assembly, and we anticipate that that level of DPA will drive higher buying numbers. We've provided you with our delinquency update in chart form this month. You'll note that overall our delinquency continues to be down in all categories compared with 2021. Our loan servicing folks continue to respond to borrowers needing mortgage assistance, and we were able to direct a number of borrowers to the Homeowner Assistance Fund to help folks reinstate their mortgages. And speaking of the Homeowner Assistance Fund, on Monday night, we suspended the program due to high demand and a lack of resources to support more than an estimated 1,400 households. We updated the webpage with some recommendations for folks that need assistance. As of Monday, 2,836 households had applied for assistance. 83 applications have been approved to date for slightly over $3 million. On March 11th, we launched a consolidated application process for several production and preservation programs through our one-stop application portal. Applications are due back in April, and we expect to bring a number of funding recommendations to the board and the HRC in May. Applications for the state site acquisition program are rolling in slowly. We've received three proposals to date, two in Providence and one in Cumberland. I'd like to introduce Christine Hunsinger, who's going to provide the board with a brief update on Chris.
This is Christine Hunsinger. So rent relief as of yesterday had approved $129 million worth of assistance. That would include 21,250 cases. And it's 19,871 households. So you see that the difference in those two numbers, and that's because we've got folks coming back in to recertify. So we'll cross the $130 million mark today. We are starting to see some folks reach their ceiling on assistance. So we've got a handful of folks that are capping out this month that we're sending letters to with resources for additional assistance if they require it. We anticipate that by the end of December, we'll have about 1,800 households that will have maxed out their assistance. So that's something to keep in mind as you see the program go forward. Additionally, we have seen from Treasury that they have reallocated about $564 million in ERA 1 funds. So reminder, that's the pot of money that Rhode Island received that was $200 million for us. So they've reallocated $564 million. They do that in two ways, a voluntary recapture and an involuntary recapture. Involuntary recapture for small states like Rhode Island that receive the same amount of funding were New Hampshire and Vermont. Delaware and Wyoming, also small states, voluntarily gave back a total of $167 million in ERA funding. So we are starting to see Treasury recapture unexpended funds and provide it to states where they still have a great need and where they've expended all of their funds. We have targets that we need to hit by the end of March. So for ERA 1, we need to be at $108 million. ERA 2, we need to have spent $45.6 million. That ERA 2 number has already been surpassed, and so we're all set on ERA 2, and we need about $18 million in ERA 1 to hit that benchmark. We are optimistic and hope to meet that benchmark. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Let me breeze through the rest of this update, and then we can open up for questions overall. We've provided you with a list of media coverage and past and upcoming events. I hope that you've noticed the recent uptick in advertising around Rent Relief RI, both on the radio and TV. That's to make sure we keep hitting these benchmarks. Earlier this week, we traveled to Washington, D.C. to meet with our delegation. We were able to brief them on the good work we're doing in Rhode Island and to chat about a few major legislative priorities, including a fix to the state fiscal recovery funds that will allow us to use these dollars in tax credit deals. Also, a reinstatement of the 12.5% boost in 9% credits that we've benefited from over the past 3 years. Recently, we've made our rounds up at the State House and have met with the chairs of the House and Senate Finance Committees and the Senate President and Speaker to discuss our calendar year 21 accomplishments and our goals for 2022. We've been scheduled to appear at a Senate Oversight Committee hearing on March 21st to discuss, among other matters, programs that we're administering and working on, and also our strategic plan. So let me pause there directly. Questions.
Do we have any questions for Carol?
Hey, Carol, it's Maria. I just had a general question on the rental assistance, and if we think that people who need it are applying for it. It sounds like they are, but that's just a question. And then also, if we'd have heard anything about potential evictions because of people not able to pay and not applying for assistance.
So I'm confident that we are promoting the program widely, and we've recently engaged additional Maria to do even on the ground work to knock on doors and have folks reaching out to perhaps people that haven't heard about the program that might not necessarily watch television or listen to the radio. So I feel very good about the promotion of the program. Let me have Chris speak to the eviction and the court program that we have. I think it's a stellar model for the country. So let me have her speak about our partnerships in the court.
Sure. This is Christine Hunsinger. So we have had, almost from the beginning, partners in the courthouse who are able to assist folks as they're walking into their eviction hearings. The courts have been a really good partner. Judges very often will postpone hearings as applications are completed. In stipulations, both attorneys for both sides will have the parties agree to participate in rent relief. Judges will routinely issue orders that reference rent relief. So we really do feel as though in the courthouse we are catching those folks who have eviction hearings. Evictions are still down. Last I looked, so our data lags a little bit, by about half from pre-COVID times. So we do feel as though the program is working in that respect and keeping people in their homes, preventing evictions. We do see an increase in what's called a 20-day eviction, and so that is an eviction for reason other than non-payment. So if you wanted to rent your apartment to someone else, or as long as you've got a non-discriminatory reason, you can evict someone for under a 20 day. And so we are seeing a higher number of those than we did pre-COVID. But, you know, the pandemic's gone on a long time and folks have been in those apartments for a long time. Lots of folks are selling or making changes. And so we think that that's largely why you're seeing that. But we do feel as though the program is keeping evictions down still.
Okay, yeah, that's great.
One other thing I'll raise, Maria, and for all the commissioners, we are supporting House Bill 7893, the Housing Payment Stability Act, which would require landlords to participate in Rent Relief RI before moving to eviction. So that's going to be heard by the House Judiciary, and we are in support of that bill. So hopefully, if that bill passes, it will further protect tenants while providing financial resources to landlords to get them enrolled in the program.
That's great. That's really great. And Carol, this might be too broad of a question for today, but you know, just given the numbers of, you know, people that are applying and it's been really successful, like what happens when this money goes away? Do we think that any part of it would be renewed or what are your thoughts on that?
I haven't heard anything about rent relief dollars being renewed or any form of rent relief on a federal level being available. I think we're back to using the tools that we've historically used. I mean, one bit of good news is the state's continuum of care received a very large increase in their award. I think it was almost $3 million in additional funding that came through the continuum. And a lot of that money is used for rental assistance and leasing dollars. But I think the reality is we're back to using the same tools we've always had. And it's not enough, and it's certainly inadequate for the number of folks who are living in hotels or living on the street. But, you know, there's a whole bunch of people that are focused on this right now. So I'm hopeful, optimistic that there will be more resources available than previously available, and that with the production dollars coming through to us to build new housing, new supportive housing, we'll be able to help more people.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Thank you.
Other questions?
This is Leanne. I have a question. Carol, I don't think it's necessarily appropriate to go through all of them at this meeting, but I wondered if there was plans for the Intergovernmental Relations Committee to meet and discuss each of the bills in the House Leadership's housing package. I know some of the proposals have been of concern to the agency in years past, and I'm curious to hear about the work done to get those to a place where you know, folks can support them and we feel like they can make the impact intended.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm sure that Amy is working on that. I believe Amy is on the call. Amy, can you unmute and provide an update on the intergovernmental meeting?
Sure, Carol. Hi, this is Amy. Yep, there was the deadline for bill submittal was pushed back this year. And so we are just now wrapping up the meetings with the directors to go over the bills and their different packages, and then we will be scheduling an intergovernmental meeting to go over all of the legislation, including the speaker's package.
Thank you.
Carol, this is Steve. Yeah, and we did meet at the beginning of the session as well. We did have a meeting after one of the board meetings to go over that. And Carol, Christine, Amy, and I met with the speaker last Saturday or the Saturday before, and it was just when he put out his package of housing-related bills and stuff like that. So we will keep everybody updated as those things move forward.
Great. Thank you, Steve, and thank you, Carol. I'd like, if we can, to move on to agenda item number three. And Carol, can you, that was item number three. It's item number four that we're talking about now, which is board action number four on your agenda, preliminary approval of financing for Park Home number four in Newport. And instead of Ann Berman, we're going to have James Comer present this board action number four. James. Welcome.
Good morning, Director Thorson. This is James Comer. This request for action is for preliminary approval of a tax-exempt construction loan in an amount not to exceed $10,100,000 for Park Home 4 in Newport, of which $2,183,000 would remain as the permanent first mortgage on the property, and also approval of a capital magnet fund loan in the amount of $999,000. The Housing Authority of the City of Newport is the developer for this project, and this is the fourth phase of a five-phase redevelopment of a public housing development known as Park Home. This phase involves the demolition of 74 units across 21 buildings and the new construction of 51 units in six townhouse-style buildings on the property. The buildings are currently occupied and the residents will be relocated during construction. Similar to the previous phases of this project, the fourth phase incorporates new site landscaping and infrastructure, new parking, road connections, walking paths, and passive recreation areas, as well as the installation of new utilities serving each building and the relocation of overhead electrical service to underground electrical service. Apartments will be restricted to households with incomes at or below 60% of area median income, and the new homes will include 11 units subsidized with annual contribution contract subsidy, which is standard public housing subsidy, and 40 units with project-based vouchers from the Housing Authority of the City of Newport. Based on the analysis of preliminary costs, the required demolition, Davis-Bacon wages, and additional site work adds about 20% to overall costs. The hard construction without these costs are consistent with similar projects the Rhode Island Housing is currently funding. Housing Authority of the City of Newport received an award of BHRI in December and will be contributing $2 million of their own Housing Authority funds to this transaction. The borrower expects to secure the balance of the funding in the next few months. Their tax credit equity investor is Boston Financial Investment Management, purchasing the 4% credits at a price of 96.5 cents per credit, which is a great price. Staff is therefore recommending preliminary approval of a tax-exempt loan and a capital magnet fund loan for Park Home 4 based on this information. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, James. Do we have any questions for James? It's Jim Thorson. Hearing no questions, I'd like to request a motion to recommend approval for board action number 4 to the Board of Commissioners. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Kevin. Maria Barry.
I'll
move
second.
Maria, second. Kevin, that was you, correct?
Yes, that's right.
All right, thank you. So we have a motion, we have a second. Is there any discussion or questions? Corinne, would you please conduct a roll call vote on this motion?
Certainly. This is Corinne speaking. If you are in favor of providing preliminary approval of financing for Park Home Phase 4 in Newport, please say aye. If you are opposed, say nay. Vice Chairman Thorson?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne?
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister? I believe Mr. McAllister has left the meeting. Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
And Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous and the motion carries. Thank you.
This is Jim Thorson. Thank you, Corinne. On that, what I'd like to do is to introduce board action number 5, which is approval of the Acquisition and Revitalization Program funding awards. And James, you're going to present to us again, James Comer. Please take it away.
Thank you very much. This is James Comer again. This request for action is for approval of $5,031,197 of Acquisition and Revitalization Program funding awards for 4 projects. The ARP program is part of the $65 million bond approved by the voters in March of 2021, of which $15 million was designated for the ARP program. Rhode Island Housing has been designated by the Rhode Island Commerce Corporation to administer this program. ARP's purpose is to stabilize neighborhoods and communities by strategically targeting foreclosed and or blighted residential and commercial properties and vacant lots in need of redevelopment. Encouraging redevelopment of these type of properties will revitalize neighborhoods and communities, stabilize the housing market, and improve local economies. In November, Rhode Island Housing issued an RFP for these funds, and we received 17 proposals requesting a total of $27,780,452 in ARP funds. Development staff scored only the applications that passed threshold analysis and subsequently presented them to an external advisory committee. After that review and presentation, four proposals are being recommended for funding. The first is $1.5 million for the Community Music Works Center. Community Music Works is the sponsor and will construct a 24,000 square foot community facility on a vacant lot at 1326 Westminster Street in Providence. This project will transform a blighted lot into a vibrant community center, promoting youth music education, musical performances, and community building. Community Music Works is a 25-year-old organization, and their new facility will include performance space, classrooms, a music library, administrative offices for the organization, and a ground floor cafe that will be open to the public. The second proposal recommended is $1,620,313 for Copley Chambers Phase 1. The sponsor is Marathon Development, and they will renovate a blighted historic building at 206 Broad Street in Providence into a mixed-use development. This project will create 26 affordable units and supportive services for residents earning between 30% and 80% of area median income, and create an ancillary commercial space for a service provider on site. The third project is $910,884 for Hannah Holmes. SWAP, Stop Wasting Abandoned Property, is the sponsor. The proposal includes the demolition of existing blighted buildings and the new construction of three two-family homes in Providence. The owner-occupied units will be restricted to eligible buyers at 100% of area median income, and the rental units will be restricted to tenants with incomes at or below 80% of area median income. Finally, the last project is $1 million for Central Street Phase 2. Pawtucket Central Falls Development Corporation is the sponsor, and they will revitalize an existing blighted building and vacant lot located in Central Falls, creating 10 affordable three-bedroom units for residents between 30% and 80% of AMI. Three units will be designated for homeless youth transitioning out of foster care. PCFDC is partnered with Foster Forward, who will provide a subsidy and long-term case management for the residents of these three units. This award is contingent upon approval of the remaining financing and correction of several compliance findings on existing PCFDC developments. Collectively, the approximately $5 million of award will develop 42 homes and a significant public facility in Providence. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, James. Do we have any questions for James? Any questions? I have a question.
Sure.
On the, I'm not familiar with SWAP. Can you tell me a little bit more about SWAP?
Sure. SWAP is a longstanding development partner for Rhode Island Housing. They do work primarily in South Providence and have developed hundreds of homes in that neighborhood over the course of the past few decades. They have been long been a successful developer and have a great track record of getting affordable housing development done in a very challenging community oftentimes to do that. We've partnered with them on many, many deals over the years.
Okay. James. Just noodling on the numbers that you, that are presented in the memo, I see that there's three two-family homes. So if my math is correct, that's six units, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the total sources and uses is $1.8 million. So that translates, again, if my math is correct, a little bit more than $300,000 per unit?
Yes.
I'm just trying to get a feel for what, you know, what the market looks like. So that's why I'm asking that question. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Does anybody else have questions for James? Hearing none, I would like General Counsel to conduct the roll call vote and report the results. Corinne? Oh, motion, please. I'm sorry.
This is Kevin Orth. I'll make a motion to approve.
Kevin Orth makes the motion. Any seconds?
Second, Maria Berry.
Maria seconded. Corinne, would you please call the roll?
Yes, this is Corinne speaking. Commissioners, when I call your name, if you are in favor of providing approval for the Acquisition and Revitalization Program, otherwise known as ARP, funding awards as presented, please say aye. If you are opposed, say nay. Vice Chairman Thorson?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne?
Aye.
Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
The motion carries by a unanimous vote.
Thank you, Corinne. It's Vice Chairman Thorson again, introducing Board Agenda Item Number 6, Approval of Delegation of Corporate Authority for Ginnie Mae MBS Programs. And with that, I'd like to introduce Bernadette MacArthur, the Director of Finance, who will present the Board Action Item Number 6. Bernadette?
Good morning. Thank you, Director Thorson. This is Bernadette MacArthur. This request for action is administrative in nature, but to provide some context, within the finance area each month, we pool and securitize government-insured loans through Ginnie Mae and either hold those securities on our balance sheet or sell them to investors. This is one of the primary functions through which we fund our mortgage pipeline and is a function which has been performed at Rhode Island Housing for more than a decade. In order to conduct business as a Ginnie Mae securities issuer, Ginnie Mae requires that we maintain on file with them a list of board-approved signers who are authorized to do business with Ginnie Mae on behalf of Rhode Island Housing. The list includes representatives from across multiple divisions, and since Ginnie Mae requires the authorization of staff members in name rather than in title, we periodically bring to the board for approval an updated list to accommodate for changes in staff over time. Upon its approval, this list would replace in its entirety the most recently approved list of authorized signers. And so staff requests approval of the designation of employees and officers as authorized to act on behalf of Rhode Island Housing in conducting business with Ginnie Mae. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernadette. Can we have a motion to approve item number 6 on the delegation of corporate authority for government National Mortgage Association MBS programs?
This is Leanne. I make a motion to approve.
Leanne, thank you for the motion. Do I have a second?
Second, Maria Berry.
Maria, thank you for the second. Do we have any questions or comments? To me, this seems very ministerial in nature.
Yes.
Corinne, would you please conduct a roll call vote on the motion?
Yes, this is Corinne speaking. Commissioners, when I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the delegation of corporate authority for Government National Mortgage Association, or Ginnie Mae, mortgage-backed securities programs, please say aye. If you are opposed, say nay. Vice Chairman Thorson?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne?
Aye.
Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
And Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
The motion carries by a unanimous vote.
Thank you, Corinne. It's Jim Thorson again, and on that, what I'd like to do is to introduce Board Agenda Item Number 7, which is an approval of the Certificate of Incumbency for the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, also known as Freddie Mac. And Bernadette, you're up again.
Thanks, Director Thorson. This is Bernadette MacArthur speaking. This request is also administrative in nature and is very similar to the preceding request. Rhode Island Housing also has an approved partnership with Freddie Mac through which we commit and sell our conventional mortgage loans directly to Freddie. As part of an annual recertification process, Freddie Mac requires that the Board of Commissioners authorize designated employees with the authority to conduct business with them on Rhode Island Housing's behalf. Their prescribed form of authorization is specifically related to the authority to instruct the transfer of funds as part of mortgage purchase or servicing processes and the authority to grant access to Freddie Mac systems and platforms. Freddie also requires that staff are designated in name rather than in title, and signers include representatives from finance, legal, loan servicing, IT, and the single family business line. Upon approval, this list will replace the most recently approved list of Freddie Mac authorized signers. And with that, staff requests that the board approve the incumbency certificate and resolution, which designate employees to act on behalf of Rhode Island Housing with respect to our Freddie Mac seller servicer activities. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernadette. It's Jim Thorson again. And on that, what I'd like to do is request a motion to recommend approval of Board Action Number 7 to the Board of Commissioners. Do I have a motion?
Leanne, to approve. Oh,
sorry. Leanne, thank you for the first. And do I have a second?
Liz Tanner, second.
Liz, thank you. Any discussion or questions? Corinne, I'd like to ask you to conduct a roll call vote on the motion.
Absolutely. This is Corinne speaking. Commissioners, if you are in favor of approving the certificate of incumbency for the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, or Freddie Mac, in the form presented at this meeting, please say aye. If you are opposed, say nay. Vice Chairman Thorson?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne?
Aye.
Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
And the ayes have it. The motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Corinne. It's Jim Thorson, and this brings us to Board Agenda Item Number 8, which is approval of temporary policy supplement to the Rhode Island Housing Administrative Plan. And for that, we're going to have Jessica Mowry, Assistant Director of Leased Housing and Rental Services, who will present on Board Action Number 8.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman. This is Jessica Mowry. As you know, one of Rhode Island Housing's role in the state is to serve as the public housing authority in 20 Rhode Island communities that do not have their own standalone municipal housing authority. As part of this role, Rhode Island Housing operates several federal housing programs, one of which is the Housing Choice Voucher Program, formerly known as Section 8. The Housing Choice Voucher Program offers rental subsidies to help qualified low-income families, senior citizens, and disabled individuals afford safe and healthy homes of their choice. Rhode Island Housing's operation of this program is governed by an administrative plan, which is dictated by federal regulations. In May of 2021, HUD awarded Rhode Island Housing 117 emergency housing vouchers as part of the American Rescue Plan Act. The targeted award requires a unique relationship with the local continuum of care, which is a governing and planning body enacted to address and end homelessness. The continuum of care was charged with identifying the target populations for the Emergency Housing Choice Voucher Program and approved the use of the vouchers for formerly homeless households with expiring rental assistance subsidies. This serves to create more capacity and funding for the homeless response by moving existing households onto mainstream funding sources, and it also ensures that the emergency housing voucher resources are utilized expeditiously in the context of an historically low rental vacancy rate. As part of the Emergency Housing Voucher Award, Rhode Island Housing is required to formally adopt the terms of the program as an amendment to the aforementioned administrative plan in the format of a temporary policy supplement. The key amendments include a description of how administrative service and state placement fees will be deployed, the process by which referrals will be identified and accepted, and how the waiting list will be managed. Rhode Island Housing staff now request the board approval of the proposed temporary policy supplement. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Jessica. What I'd like to do is request a motion, and then we'll have questions as necessary. So can I get a motion on Board Action Number 8 to the Board of Commissioners?
So moved, Kevin Orth.
Thank you, Kevin. Do I have a second?
This is Leanne, I second.
Leanne, thank you. And it's Jim Thorson again. Do we have any questions? I do have a comment, and I wanted to compliment Carol and staff on following up on this detail. I know that for many of us commissioners on the board, it might seem like a detail that shouldn't necessarily catch all that much attention, but believe me, it will catch attention of the auditors when they come looking for it, and make sure that our programs continue to qualify for the money that we've been given. This is vitally important. I'm just saying this because your agency does a better job than many of following up on details like this, but it is something that as a commissioner I feel like I should be interested in. So thank you for doing this.
Thank you, Director.
So with that, what I'd like to do is to ask, unless anybody has any other questions, can we ask Corinne to call the roll?
Yes, this is Corinne speaking. If you are in favor of approving the temporary policy supplement to the RA Housing Administrative Plan as presented, please say aye. If you are opposed, say nay. Vice Chairman Thorson?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne?
Aye.
Commissioner Orris?
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous and the motion carries.
Thank you, Corinne. And with that, this is Jim Thorson. It appears that there's no further business. So with that, I'd like to request a motion to adjourn. Do I have a motion?
Liz Tanner,
make
a motion to adjourn.
Oh, boy.
Tanner and Liam Byrne.
Okay, thank you. So, Corinne, what I'd like you to do is call the roll.
Thank you. Yes, this is Corinne speaking. If you're in favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye. If you are opposed, say nay. Vice Chairman Thorson?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne?
Aye.
Commissioner Orris?
Aye.
Commissioner
Hannah? Aye.
The ayes have it. The motion carries.
The meeting is adjourned. Thank you, Corinne. Thank you, Carol. Thanks all.
Thank you, everyone.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.